Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everyone, welcome back to A Matter of Truth. Thank you for downloading and checking us out. This is episode 23. Last episode was on humility. I dropped that back in March. So hopefully you guys got a chance to check it out. You can find A Matter of Truth on Instagram as well. And my account is Speak Gospel Truth. Speak.gospel.truth. So yeah, that's tied directly to A Matter of Truth. So, be sure to give us a follow out there in Instagram land. Alex is not with me again today. He is still head high, not neck high, head high, just all the way to his forehead in recording Undying Light, episodes, seminary school. He's a pastor as well as he's got a family and, the family is growing, so he's keeping super busy. So we talked a little bit about getting back together in the June timeframe. So that's kind of the goal. So in the meantime, I'm going to be doing some interviews and maybe a solo episode, another one after this, as well as I am going to have some guests on, which I'm super excited about. We're going to have Izzy on. She is from Saints and Society. Go check out her page on Instagram. We're going to do a Saints and Society takeover. She's going to pick the topic and she's going to just run with it. So look forward to sitting in on that. Super excited about that, actually. One other thing I want to note. I got a book, The Word Explored by author Dave Jenkins. And I'm going to have him on to talk about this book. This book tackles the issue that I'm sure you guys have seen me post on, biblical illiteracy. And it's a great book so far. I'm about halfway through. And I look forward to speaking with him about the book and how readers can, get past that. I think local churches aren't equipping their folks with how to study the Bible. And I've actually had some posts on that recently. So look forward to having that conversation with him. All right. So jumping into the show, in the spirit of having folks on as guests and whatnot, I wanted to go ahead and introduce a friend of mine. I attend church with him. He lives right down the street. We've had just some great conversations about theology and different stuff that I was like, hey man, you should come on a podcast. So he was gracious enough to join us. So I want to go ahead and introduce Tony. Hey man, how's it going? How are you?
It's happening, Anthony. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm glad you could join us today. I know you have checked out a couple of Matter of Truth episodes or a few. So here you are, right?
Yeah, they've been pretty good, and we have been talking about this for quite a while, and I think that's our way of listening to God and saying, guys, make sure you're doing this and doing it right and doing it for me, and not doing it for yourself. So yeah, we've both been in prayer about it, and it's nice to finally make the connection and let God lead us.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great conversation, a lot like our phone conversations. We talk so much about gaps that might be in our church, things that people aren't getting, don't understand from a theology standpoint and from a doctrinal standpoint. And those are the kinds of things we talked about, and we're like, hey, we should cover some of those. And the one we're going to cover, I've covered it prior in A Matter of Truth, and it's been covered. But we're going to kind of talk to specifics, kind of outlining the topic of sanctification. Because, again, people hear this word sanctification or sanctifying, and, you know, do they truly know what it means and where you find it in Scripture?
Oh, you know, it's interesting. I think it just depends on your level and your relationship with God and how long you've been a Christian and reading the Word. Because I think there are terms that we use every day that some people are just like, what is that? And the simplest one is like legalism. People go, what is legalism? So for some, sanctification is a no-brainer. For others, yeah. Sanctification is like, you're absolutely right. What is that?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's important to cover, you know, these types of terms and doctrines, you know, as much as you can, so people get a good understanding. So going to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 35, sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. So it's an ongoing process between God and man. It's very synergistic, if you will. So it's being shaped and molded to be more and more like Christ, to become holy as he is holy. Obviously, we won't achieve that in the sense of being perfect like Jesus, but it's something we strive to do, and it is all the work of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 is the perfect example. You know, it says that it's the process, basically describes that it's the process of becoming more Christ-like by purifying our hearts and minds through repentance, prayer, and spiritual practices.
Yeah. And it really is it's an ongoing process that, you know, sometimes it's tough to wrap our heads around, because there are points in time where I'm just like, wow, it's just not working. But anyway, let's go ahead and take a look at justification and sanctification side by side. Of course, we're justified unto sanctification to become holy. So justification is our legal standing. Sanctification is the internal condition. Justification, correct, once for all time. We were justified once through Jesus Christ. Sanctification is continuous throughout life. Justification's entirely God's work. Sanctification is we cooperate. There's that synergistic thing we go through. Justification, perfect in this life. Sanctification, not perfect in this life, not until glorification. Justification, the same in all Christians. Sanctification, greater in some than others, meaning we're all at different points of our sanctifying walk in Christ. No one's at the same point at any given time. That's between you and the Father alone.
Right.
And just to add on to that, again, it is very much, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, but we cooperate. It's synergistic. It's
oh, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, I think you said in there just a few minutes ago, you said, you know, we never achieve sanctification. And that's because, you know, of the free will, because our free will is always going to choose our flesh. And therein lies the main issue, because like the Latin word, the root word for suffix for sanctification is sanctus, which means holiness. Holy. The Greek word also means holiness. We will never be Christ. We will never achieve pure holiness. Therefore, our free will is our downfall.
Yeah, just touching on free will a little bit, I'll go down that rabbit hole. I really love what John MacArthur said about free will when asked the question. He said he would define free will as this: every human being has the freedom to choose whatever sin he wants. That's free will. You could choose whatever sin you want to choose. You just can't choose not to sin. He goes right on further to say, just bear with me here. So yes, there's free will, but there's only free will within the framework of depravity and corruption. The one thing you can choose is to get out of there. For that, you have to cry for the mercy and grace of God to extract you, which God does by his own sovereign love and power. So, I mean, that's the key thing. When we were sinners,
right,
you know, we are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ alone. He alone, and this is what we're talking about, salvation is solely Jesus, what he did on the cross, it has nothing to do with us. And we touched on that in when we were breaking down justification. It's entirely God's work alone.
That is correct. You're absolutely right. We're saved because of Jesus Christ, the fact that God gave him to this world to be crucified, to die, and to be rose again. He is the reason we are sanctified. So the moment we accept that faith and accept Christ into our lives to move forward and follow him, we've been sanctified. And if you take that definition and you apply it to that, when you sanctify something or someone, it is set apart. It is set apart different from anything else, and it is to be used as the designer intended it to be used. And that designer is God, Jesus Christ. So therefore, we are to be set apart, as the Bible tells us. We are to be set apart. We are to be apart from this world, not part of this world. And the designer has used us for that intent.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point about being set apart. It all ties into this discussion, as does everything. I think everything within what we study, it's all intertwined. It really is.
Definitely.
Yeah, so, I mean, just touching on being set apart, you look at Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so here we're presented with this idea of setting yourself apart, moved away from the world, removed from the lifestyle, the ideologies, the philosophies of the world, which is not for God. They are against God. Correct. There's a huge difference between biblical Christianity and then the cultural Christianity. So I think within the culture, you just have too many folks that just, they claim to be Christian, and then they embrace all of these ideas that the world presents to them.
Right.
You know, as okay, well, I can take and I can mix this New Age philosophy in with my Christianity or whatever it may be. And that just opens a can of worms, and it just does not align with what Scripture says in any way, shape or form. So to be set apart and to sanctify ourselves, we do that through the Word of God, through what the Word of God teaches, and we abide and stay in Christ and his commandments. So exactly. We can look at, you know, there are different stages within sanctification, and not everybody's at the same
right,
stage.
Right. And I think you're absolutely right by saying stages, because here's what I think. I think sanctification requires change. It requires transformation. You can't have sanctification without transformation. And that transformation is nothing more than becoming and doing everything that you're taught to do to become more Christ-like, to become more as close Christ-like as humanly possible, which we'll never achieve the fullness of it. And, you know, it says, you know, through the Holy Spirit, you know, is how that transformation will occur and transpire. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Galatians 5:16 through 23, and through reading God's word, which is John 17:17, it tells us exactly in this way you will be transformed because of your sanctification.
Yeah, and just touching on the part about being transformed throughout our walk, you know, this is a work that started, it starts with God alone at regeneration. And you can look at Ephesians 2:5, the key phrase in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. So, you know, Paul locates the time when regeneration occurs, and that's all a work
exactly
of God. Only God can bring to life something that is completely dead. And
exactly.
A lot of people have a hard time, I think, with that concept, but we are just dead in our trespasses, and from there we're justified by grace in faith in Christ unto sanctification, unto good works. We're alive in Christ. So these are the things that come out the new. We look at the old. It's gross. It's ugly. We don't want anything to do with it. And we just have a changed view of everything that's before us.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is, as we were just sitting there saying, you know, it began the minute the minute you accepted Christ into your life, and it causes that regeneration to begin. So sanctification is to carry on, to continue carrying forward that regeneration which began in you. So, and here's the thing, is it extends to the entire man, the whole man, as the Bible says in Romans 6:3. It extends to the whole man. It's not just your acts. It's not just your speech. It's not just your actions. It's your thoughts, the way you carry your, it's every part of your entire being to continue on that progress of perfection. Will we achieve it? No, we're not Christ, but we have an obligation through Christ and for Christ to continue to strive to achieve it.
Right. We are a slave to Christ. We submit to Christ, and we want to do good things.
Good call. That's a good clarification.
Yeah, it's not in a legalistic obligation kind of way. It's because we love the one who saved us, who gave us life. So moving to the four stages of sanctification, if you will. Sanctification has a definite beginning at regeneration. We talked about regeneration just now. That is all the work of God. God is the only one who can regenerate a dead person, someone dead in their trespasses, bring them back to life. 1 John 3:9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. So again, regeneration, it is all God's work. Period, end of story. And, you know, and that's justification in Jesus in sending his son. So we can look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So here we have two verses that outline this definite beginning at regeneration of that sanctifying work the Holy Spirit does in a believer's life.
Yeah.
So let's move into sanctification increases throughout life. Number two, four stages of sanctification. The New Testament shows sanctification has a beginning at regeneration. We did talk about that, but also it's a process throughout our lives. We are to be holy yourself in all your conduct, 1 Peter 1:5. So, and we can look at that verse a little bit more in context as obedient children, verse 14, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who is called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So, I mean, holiness is essentially, it defines the Christian's new nature and conduct in contrast with his pre-salvation lifestyle, right? And, we enter into this relationship through Jesus Christ, and we are now associated with God, a holy, holy God, living as Christians. And, you know, we need to respect, we need to fear the Lord and his words. You know, it's not our job to then say, oh, if we do that, we're being legalistic. Oh, you know, it's works based. It's not. That's crazy. It is absolutely crazy to think that. It's not legalistic to obey what God wants us to do.
Well, it's not legalistic. You can't take a command from God and call it legalistic. It'd be different if you and I said, or someone else said, hey guys, God wants us to be holy and reverent, but it doesn't say it anywhere in the Bible. Somewhere we make that interpretation from other things that are said. That's where you run the risk of becoming legalistic.
Yeah.
But God himself says right there in his word, and here's the bottom line, his word is 100% authority. His word is 100% accurate. His word is 100% him speaking to us as a people, giving us exactly what he's looking for at the moment we choose to choose him.
Yeah, totally agree.
And therefore, it is God's command. And we can't change that. And there's no way to misinterpret that. You know, in the beginning of that, you said, I think you said 1 Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, and you said something about give all of yourself or something like that? How did that verse start out?
It was be holy yourselves in all your conduct, 1 Peter 1:15.
There you go. In all your conduct, which referred exactly right back to what I was saying in Romans 6:13 when I said it talks about the whole man. Here, let me read it to you. It says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And again, the minute we accepted to follow Christ, and the minute we accepted, we beat death. We defeated death as he did on the cross for us, and that's what allowed us to defeat it. And we became a new creature in Christ.
Yeah, you know, in talking about sanctification, we always talk about imperatives, and instantly, you know, we hear an imperative and we're like, we can't do that. That's not possible. But it's important to point out the indicatives are the, you know, they're the power behind the imperative. So to, let me just pull it up here, to the Romans 6:13 you're mentioning, if you look at, you go back to verse 10, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you go into verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. And then it moves into that, into the imperative. Let not sin, therefore, there it is, reign right in your mortal body. So it's really, I heard Sinclair Ferguson mention, it's the language of scripture that we get to understand and we learn. And that points to, as you're growing and learning, it points to sanctification. All right, I'm going to jump right to number three. Sanctification is complete at death and when the Lord returns. So it's completed at death for our souls, and when the Lord returns for our bodies. So our sanctification will never be completed in this life because there's still sin that remains in our hearts, you know, even though we are followers of Christ, and that's just how it is this side of heaven. So when we do die, our sanctification becomes complete in that one sense because now our souls are finally free from, you know, the sin and we're made perfect. But also when the Lord returns, he's going to give us our resurrected bodies. And that is also part of sanctification. So that,
oh, definitely,
that is something that when we think of sanctification, we only think of it from this side of it. But it's also it's a twofold thing because we're going to be we're going to get a new resurrected body, and in that sanctification then becomes complete. So I think, you know, striving to be holy, to work and to grow in the Lord through the Holy Spirit is absolutely important. It's
right.
Work that you put in. Go ahead.
Perfect. Yeah, like I said earlier, it requires, and it does require, it requires change. And here's what I like. So let me read the last five or six words of that verse, Romans 6:13. It says, part of yourself to offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. And the reason I want to go back and read that is because the word instrument, you as a band player, you as someone who's played in a band, understands instruments. And instruments are made to play. Guess what? They don't give you any fulfillment. They don't offer anything to anyone without being played. And then when you play that instrument, which requires you to physically do something for the betterment of other people. In this case, in sanctification, we are an instrument that we are to be used, every part of us, as the scripture said, every part of us, for the righteousness of God. So we are to be played and make a joyful noise, if you will, in air quotes, to all the other people in the world, even to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to strengthen them. We are to hold them up. We are to support them. We are to continually be instruments for Christ.
Yeah, that's a, I mean, that's actually a great analogy, being instruments for Christ. And you continue as a musician, right? I am going to continue to want to strive to be a better player. And how did I learn how to play my instrument? It took years. It was painstaking years, blood, sweat, and tears, as they say, right? And you learn the craft, you learn your instrument, and you play it, and you learn all of these things associated with the instrument, recording, playing in time, playing to a metronome, click track, you know, how to write a song, song, and how to put all these pieces together so it's pleasing to the ear, right? So our Christian walk in sanctification, being sanctified, is no different. The Holy Spirit drives us to the Word, and we should immerse ourselves just like we would with anything else. You know, whether you're a football player, a pool player, whatever it may be, you put in all this effort and time to learn your craft. So really, that is exactly what the Holy Spirit drives a Christian to. The scales come off the eyes, earplugs out of the ears, and we see things differently. And that is all sanctification is. It's not a legalistic work. It's not, you know, again, yeah, you can twist, just because we're humans, you could twist it to be legalistic and just like a Pharisee. But again, you look at what Scripture tells us, indicatives, imperatives, and it's because we want to please our Father in heaven. That's what drives me. That's what drives me to want to learn more, to grow in a relationship.
That's true. That's absolutely, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's nothing legal. And you know, here's the cool part. The more you practice, the more you become disciplined.
Yeah.
The more, and I'll keep on the analogy of an instrument player or a band member. The more you begin to play and continually practice that instrument, the more your ears become in tune and become sensitive to every mistake you make, everything that you need to, and then you start to learn how to tune your instrument without pulling out the little tuner that everybody had as a kid.
That's so funny. Sorry to interrupt. It's so true, because there are some people that are born with, you know, that are pitch perfect. They just got perfect pitch. But most people, you have to learn and discipline yourself to hear things in tune and without relying on the tuner. And it's just something that grows, and you put a lot of work into that particular craft. And the thing about it is you know, once you start learning and you hear good pitch, you know, music put together as it should be, it's music to your ears. Whereas, you know what, you cannot discipline yourself, and you could be like, yeah, okay, I'm a musician, and you just pick it up whenever you want, and you know. But what you're going to get out, what you're going to hear from that player playing that instrument is stuff that is out of key. It's chaos. It's complete noise. And you can just look and you can listen and be like, okay, this person obviously doesn't care much to learn about their instrument, to want to cultivate and refine it, right? And that's, and again, that's what sanctification is. It's just a refinement of someone who has been made new in Christ, right? So
yep.
It's a great analogy. It really is a great analogy, because again, there are plenty of musicians out there that are just dreadful, and it hurts your ears to even listen to it. But then there are players, and they put the time and the effort to cultivate that craft. And I'm, by no means am I trying to dumb Christianity down to, you know, music and being a musician and learning an instrument. But the parallels are really cool to kind of talk through. And they make a lot of sense, because, again, with a craft, you're going to put your everything to be as great as you possibly can with that particular craft. That's just how it is. And that's how I was as a musician. I wanted to be the best songwriter, the best player I possibly humanly could be. But what's great is with Christianity, it's all the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
it's all God.
You're spot on, because you're right. And if you care about your craft, whether it's an instrument or whether you're a carpenter or whatever your job may be, if you care about your craft, you start to learn, you start to want to learn and become more sensitive to those things which aren't right. So for example, as a Christian, and we let the Holy Spirit work through us, and we start to grow, we start to become more humble, self-renouncing, self-abhorring, and all that stuff. But what we become is more sensitive to every sin that we do, to every sin that we might do. And as we start to do it, we're like, okay, that's not what I'm supposed to do. How do I prevent myself? How do I overcome? And that's constantly to fine-tune. And how do we fine-tune? We fine-tune in a couple of different ways. We fine-tune by getting in God's word. We fine-tune in prayer. We fine-tune by gathering with believers. We fine-tune by having partners of accountability. And that's how we start to continue to grow and become sensitive. And you're right, the sloppy guy who's sitting up on stage who really doesn't care about his craft, he thinks he's the greatest player ever. When really, and that's because that's all his ears hear, and that's all he cares about is being on stage. He doesn't care about the end goal.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree. And you know, I think we've beat that that analogy down to a pulp. So I think it was awesome. It really was. So let's move on to number four. Sanctification is never completed in this life, and that is absolutely true. And I think out there there's a whole sect of people, false teachers out there that they say, or they imply, once you come to Christ that you are perfect, right? And that you should no longer sin at any time from the point in which you came to Christ. And it's called perfectionism. And they look at passages as Matthew 5, 48, or 2 Corinthians 7.
That's a whole different episode, my friend.
Yeah, it really is. I think we could get into you know, all the different isms, legalism, moralism, perfectionism. But yeah, yep. It really is. There are these people that use these verses. Like I said, Matthew 5:48, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And, you know, they take it out of context, and 2 Corinthians 7:1. So, you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament both teach that we cannot be morally perfect in this life. That it's just, you can look at the Old Testament, 1 Kings 8:46. If they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So that idea that you know, you accept Christ and your sanctification is complete on this side of heaven and you are not going to sin anymore and you will be perfect, it is another topic, you know, touching on those false teachers, but it's just inaccurate. It's not true whatsoever.
Paul tells us in Romans about it. He says, you know, Paul says in Romans, he says, if it were up to me, I would choose what's not right. But it's not up to me. He goes, he's saying, I am unable to do what is right. I am unable to restrain myself from doing wrong.
Right.
It's a constant conflict and frustration with Christians today because...
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
But I was going to say, because of self, you know, free will, sorry, not self, because of free will, we will always, free will will absolutely always choose self, but we have to battle that with constant prayer, constant being in God's word. We have to constantly fight against that temptation by talking to the Father, by holding ourselves accountable, by having those partners of accountability.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and that's the importance of you know, being in a home group, attending Bible study, going to church. Again, that does not save you at all, but it certainly is something that keeps you on track, just like reading scripture keeps you on track, you know, and it plays into building your faith and your walk in Christ. So all of these things play into your sanctifying walk. They just do. You can't separate the two, in my opinion. You just, I think in scripture is very clear on that. It's not even my opinion. You know, and you know, with free will, we touched on that earlier. Certainly we are created with free will in the sense that we're going to pick sin. You know, we're going to pick what's wrong. Prior to our putting on Christ, and that's what we're bent towards. And the bottom line, like I said, there's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor, but there are pastors that are clearly rooted in the Word of God. There are churches that are rooted in the Word of God. They are biblically sound churches, and that's where you should look to be and listening to biblically sound pastors, because it's not about the pastor. It's about the word that he is preaching as it relates directly to scripture. You know, don't get attached to your church in the sense that the church is the idol or the pastor is your idol. It's about what they're preaching. God, it can be the only one, the number one. There's no other idols besides God. And again, you know, that being said, yeah, there's absolutely no perfect churches. And you just weigh everything against scripture, you know?
No, you're right. There is no perfect church. And if there were perfect churches, Paul wouldn't have never written letters to several of the churches.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely correct. And I think with that, I think we're at a really good stopping point. And hopefully we can do another one of these. Again, the month is kind of going to be a lot of dropping guests and things like that. So kind of look forward to kind of how it shakes out. Yeah. And then I'll be back on with Alex, we're hoping, in sometime in June, July timeframe. And hey, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. And I think it's been a great conversation. It's one of my favorite conversation topics. It's something I enjoy talking about.
Absolutely, brother. I mean, it's been great. I appreciate you having me. It's definitely been fun. And I, you know, as always, I enjoy chatting with you about God and God's word. And, you know, it teaches me as much as I hope it teaches you. And, you know, we can learn from each other as brothers in Christ.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. With that, I want to thank everybody who is listening, who has listened, who's downloaded this episode. I really appreciate the support. We appreciate the support. A Matter of Truth, you can find us on Instagram. You can find Speak Gospel Truth Instagram. And definitely go check out some Undying Light episodes as Alex is putting those up. So, all right, with that, God bless and be safe.
See you guys.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.